So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Tuesday is the anniversary of the first Tarzan movie to hit the silver screen.
Then on Wednesday, we tell the story of how Gottlieb Daimler inadvertently invented the motorbike.
On Thursday, we explain how MSG got demonized in the 1960s.
And on Friday, we revisit a legendary battle on a frozen Russian lake.
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the retrospectors. 10 minutes each weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, patrons of the Media Podcast. This episode is dedicated to you. Without your voluntary subscriptions, we wouldn't have been able to plan this show where we come up to Edinburgh. That costs money. Or any of our other big specials this year. So thank you very much. Also, big thanks to Media Masters, our sponsors. You'll find out who's on their show later. Hello and welcome to the Media Podcast. I'm Ollie Mann. On today's show, it is the Edinburgh International Television Festival, our annual trip north of the border to the TV industry's chat-a-thon with sessions from top telly talent, screenings of exciting new shows, and a few remakes as well. Plus the keynote McTaggart Lecture, this year provided by Vice's Shane Smith. What will a room of UK execs make of this brash Canadian upstart? Have they begun to address his most burning issue, which is how to bring young people back to TV? And what will the delegates make of a media quiz hastily pasted from 100 press releases? All these questions answered on today's Media Podcast. And joining me at the Edinburgh International Television Festival, a stone's throw from a smoothie stall sponsored by a high-profile video streaming service, is the journalist and broadcaster Tom Latcham. Hello, Tom.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Yes, you can hear in my voice I'm a little bit hoarse. Were you out last night as well?
No, of course I wasn't. I was at home preparing for my appearance on the Media Podcast. I was in bed tucked up by about 10 or 11.
Yes, research is vital. You usually are writing for The Sun or presenting on Talk Sport. Neither things necessarily you would think are associated with telly. So what is it that keeps you coming back here every year?
The free dinners from Channel 4.
This is your holiday, isn't it?
I've been looking at your Twitter and Facebook. I was a TV editor of the News of the World.
Right, okay.
So I would come up here for that. And I always had such a lovely time.
It's good,
isn't it? I come here and I don't have to pay 500 quid because I'm still a journalist. So I come and I just sort of mince around the sessions and then go and see some comedy and just have a lovely time. And Channel 4 do invite me for dinners, but none of the others do these days. I'm not important enough. But it's nice that Channel 4, I will say again, fantastic. Best channel, in fact, as proven by the awards this year.
The beauty of a legacy press list. And next to Tom is the entertainment director of Heat magazine. It is Boyd Hilton. Hello, Boyd.
Hello.
You are Mr. Session.
Yep.
That's your nickname of Edinburgh. But what have you been doing this year?
Oh, God, what haven't I been doing? Yeah, someone did come up to me last night at the rather lovely Sky press dinner, Tom.
You wouldn't know.
No. Where they had, but unbelievably, they had a whiskey tasting, right?
Uh-huh.
And now, can I just say, first ever whiskey, it's different to a wine tasting. You don't spit it out.
Right.
You consume the whiskey. So just think about that for a minute.
How are you feeling after all your whiskies?
There's a lot of whiskey.
Really?
Yeah. Someone came up to me and said, are you hosting every session? Which I thought was a depressing thought. I've got to stop.
A bit confrontational.
I know, it was a bit confrontational.
I mean, who doesn't like more Boyd Hilton in their lives?
Thanks, yeah.
Tom and I, as professional presenters,
like
we don't resent the fact that you...
Yeah, everyone would.
Then it might mean that I'd get to host one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Boyd, can I have one of your sessions, please?
Yes, you can. Yeah.
So what have you been... Who have you been talking to this year, Boyd?
I did two screenings of BBC Comedy's Porridge.
What's it like?
It's all right. It's fine. It's good. I enjoyed it. Genuinely, I enjoyed it, yeah.
Fine.
No, it's good. It's actually good, sorry. Better than fine, it's good. And then People Just Do Nothing, which is the funniest thing on TV, as any fool know. Mm-hmm. They had a screening of episode 5 of that and Q&As with the stars afterwards of both. Unfortunately, there was hardly anyone there either, because the first one kind of clashed with the McTaggart, so that was badly scheduled. Not having a go at the organising committee, but, you know, mm-hmm. let's have a think about that next year. And the second one, people can pay to go and see both of the screenings, like members of the public, but I think they're £15 the tickets now. I mean, you know, even for a half-hour sitcom and a Q&A hosted by me, that's quite a lot. And the
Q&A pays for itself, though, really.
Well, right, by the way, don't get paid, that's just to say that. And yesterday I hosted the prestigious Walking Dead session.
Now you can remove the irony from this.
Yes.
That actually is prestigious.
It is prestigious.
That is the biggest TV show in the world. Did
exactly.
you know that, Tom Latcham?
I did not know that.
Yes.
Tell us about The Walking Dead, because some people listening to this
Dead
never seen it.
Gets higher ratings than Game of Thrones, than America's Got Talent, or wherever the current big talent show is in America. And it is literally, it's on in 125 countries, and in most of them, it's kind of up there, top rated as well. But it is the biggest TV show in the world, officially, and it's an incredible
story.
Why
is it not so big in the UK? Because it really
isn't,
is it?
Well, it's shown on the Fox channel here, which, with all due respect to the Fox channel, isn't a channel that everyone knows, you know. I think, you know, a lot of people have got it, but it's by far their biggest show, by the way. And you know, like, I think it popped 40% ratings even last season, the one before here. So it's still huge here for the Fox Channel. But obviously, it's not in America. It's on AMC, which is the place where Breaking Bad and Mad Men.
Is there not a thought then that it might be acquired? I mean, in this age where everyone seems to be just doing acquisitions,
Channel 5, I think, in the past.
Right.
It has been on various other different channels. But it's now Fox's kind of... It's their diamond of a show. It's their flagship show. Yeah. But it's run by... The executive producer is Gail Ann Hurd, who is a legendary Hollywood producer. She produced Terminator, Aliens, Armageddon. She was married to James Cameron. And she was married to Brian De Palma, two of the greatest directors ever. And she's like this absolute god of producing. So basically, they work really, really hard on it. And it's difficult, but amazing.
It's interesting. I'm just looking at the Twitter feed for the Edinburgh TV Festival. The things that have had the most retweets are people taking pictures, basically selfies, with the cast of The Walking Dead. That appears to be the
yeah.
So that's how you can tell, isn't it? So that's obviously the stuff that's reaching out beyond Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Who have you seen around that actually sort of makes your heart flutter, Tom? You're a cynical old hack. Who do you get excited by?
Well, actually, and this might well feed in something else, it's Nicola Adams. And I interviewed her yesterday. She's, of course, the double Olympic gold-winning boxer, the first female to ever retain a boxing medal, and the first Brit boxer, I think, in 92 years to retain their medal. And she came as a surprise visit, I think. They weren't expecting her to come, but they managed to get her for the BT session, and I interviewed her beforehand. I was a fanboy, a big fanboy, and my girlfriend always takes the mickey out of me for being such a fanboy of Nicola Adams. Not the best interview, but nevertheless, no, hasn't made me any less of a fanboy.
Your fault or her fault?
Probably a bit of both, actually.
Well, in fairness to sports people, you know, that's not what they do, is it, talk? I sometimes think, you know, when they come up to these sessions and people do expect to be entertained by them, it's like that's possibly a reach too far.
I was starstruck when I saw Robbie Savage arrive at the conference centre the same time as me yesterday.
He had
a white jumper draped around his shoulders.
I bet it was a quality jumper
classic.
As well.
He also had the same haircut as Nicola Adams.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It was good to see that massive doof in real life, though.
Boyd, I know that you're going to want to rant about the McTaggart. That is a tradition.
Always.
I mean, I should mention this is your third year, consecutive year.
Oh, is it?
On the Media Podcast
TV
special.
15th year at this bloody festival.
Yeah, well, you've been booked for your McTaggart rant.
Right,
so
okay.
We're looking
I'm
forward
ready.
To it, but
you're
not allowed to do it yet.
Okay, fine.
We'll get onto the McTaggart in part two,
yeah.
Which was hosted, Media Podcast listeners, by Shane Smith of Vice. We'll talk about that. But let's just talk about the issue of media for young people, because that... just by virtue of him doing the McTaggart became one of the trends and one of the talking points of the festival. So without mentioning You Know Who, what else have you seen around that issue that's got you thinking?
God, you're testing me there. Oh God, it's hard not to go to that because I've heard sessions like Jay Hunt's controller session, where obviously that's quite important, and she was talking about, you know, E4 is doing really well, partly I guess because BBC Three is no longer actually on TV.
But what didn't I read today, that E4's like the average viewer is 42 or something?
I'm sure
I read that today. Maybe I'm making that up or imagining it. But
all those perverted Hollyoaks fans.
But TV is for old people ultimately, isn't it?
I mean, I've seen a lot of people talking about, you know, people watching YouTube, and it's all about YouTube stars. And, you know, I mean, my friend Ben Winston, who's in a session right now, talking about the fact that his Late Late Show with James Corden gets over a billion views on YouTube, and of course Carpool Karaoke is a YouTube phenomenon. And actually ratings for that show are kind of irrelevant, you know, in America. It's all about the interaction with YouTube because all the young kids are watching the content that way. But my theory is that once you get to 30, no matter in every point in the future, everyone getting to 30 is going to give up this bloody YouTube thing and watching content online. Again, they'll sit there in front of their huge TVs watching TV.
I'm not sure. We always have. I'm not sure how true that is. And can I also say, by the way, interestingly, without referring to YouKnowWho, who likes to big up how great they are on social media, Vice, Channel 4's got more Facebook likes, for instance. Their some of their videos are watched by huge numbers of people, and that is a linear program doing stuff well online.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the digital session. I can't remember exactly what it was called. It was hosted by Emma Hardy of Princess Productions, and it was about how to integrate lessons from YouTube into telly, basically.
Yeah.
And William Van Rest from ITV sort of calmly, but you know, quite belligerently, kept making the same point, which is everyone's talking about Zoella, but look how many likes this morning has on Facebook. Mm. That was essentially
what
he said.
He's absolutely right.
Jeremy Kyle's bigger than Marcus Butler.
And also, the other thing is about the whole Zoella thing is that 12, 13, 14 year olds fall in love with them, her and other people of that ilk, but then literally 2 years later they're over it and they kind of can't stand it and they don't want to go anywhere near it, and they're slightly embarrassed about it, the way I might have been embarrassed about loving Duran Duran, you know, in the 80s. Of course I'm back loving them now, but you know, you can't, I think people get, I mean, it sounds really patronising, but I genuinely think you when people grow up, they will be watching linear TV.
And, also,
and there's a reason why Vice are launching a TV channel.
And also the video that's most liked on Channel 4 this year is about Aleppo. So it does show that people are watching serious stuff that isn't about Zoella doing makeup online.
What do we think about the fact that the sponsors of the show this year are BT and YouTube? I mean, they are not traditional broadcasters.
No. It's interesting.
Well, the media guardian obviously haven't got any money, have they?
Correct.
Yeah,
so what
true.
Does that tell us then? I mean, is there now an acceptance that even though what you've just said may be true, that people kind of graduate onto watching ITV after they've been watching Marcus Butler, is there now an acceptance that YouTube is essentially a TV company and it's all part of the same mix?
I think it's probably good for them to have that, to sponsor it and have that kind of presence, and for them to feel they're part of the TV landscape, which they are in a way. But I think they're getting that out of it in a way. You know, it makes sense for them to sponsor the TV festival because I think they do aspire to. For everything I read and hear about them, they're aspiring to being taken as seriously in terms of content, that horrible word, as the existing dinosaurs of linear TV. And maybe they are, and maybe they carry on. But I still, but it's the theory that the kids aren't into TV that I would fight against, absolutely. And in fact, you know, they kind of lie about it. I mean, loads of them are watching TV still. They, you know, EastEnders is still watched by millions and millions of young people, for example. And they will definitely watch even more TV once they get older.
Just let's do a bit of truth talking, Tom Latcham, about YouTube. Mm. How much YouTube do you actually really watch? Because it seemed to me, we're a similar sort of age, right?
Yeah.
I used to encounter YouTube all the time on Facebook. My friends were recommending videos. Then Facebook changed the algorithm and prioritised Facebook video.
I'm the wrong person to talk to because I've just started DJing, so I spend my entire life on YouTube ripping off old Happy Hardcore records and so I can mix them. So I spend quite a lot of time on YouTube, but I'm not representative of anybody else beyond someone who's just got into DJing Happy Hardcore in their 30s.
Something Emily Bell would never say. It's been a quieter session for news this year. Now, that might be because there aren't the politicians here this year, and that might be because there isn't charter renewal and we've just had an election. What do you think?
I think there's certainly less for the tabloids, and as someone who has historically worked in tabloids, that is what I would use as a barometer of news, of course. The high-minded stuff doesn't really do it for me, and there hasn't been a soap session this year, for instance. There hasn't been a session about, last year they had one with Ross Kemp, Stacey Dooley, and others like that, you know, tabloid figures. They haven't really had that this year, and look, and I don't know what somebody who, like Boyd, who is interested more in the machinations of television and the trends and all that sort of stuff would make, whether it's been a fulsome conference for them. For me, I've actually found it, there hasn't been a lot in it for me. I found it quite boring, a lot of it, and it's a shame because it's such a great thing and I am interested. It just has to appeal to many different people.
Well, I'm curious, what is a great tabloid story to come out of a TV festival then, if you think back over the last 10 years?
Well, I mean, to be fair, look, you've got to say Andy Willman was a great session. Andy
so
Willman, who of course
exec
is the
of the Grand Tour.
The Grand Tour. That was a good session. It was, I felt that he wasn't grilled enough, actually. The whole fact that he'd He'd punched a junior producer. Jeremy Clarkson punched a producer, and Andy Wilman really didn't do a great deal about it, seemingly. And it was all sort of swept under the carpet, sort of, oh, jolly, ha, ah, you know, whatever. But it's not okay to punch a junior producer and call him an Irish, whatever. That's not all right. And I felt that it's sort of brushed under the carpet because he makes a good car show. And I don't think that's acceptable, and I don't think he was pushed on that enough. The McTaggart we'll come to later, I didn't think that was particularly rigorous journalistically by Jay Hunt either.
Well, okay, so let's talk about presenters then. Because as you say, there's actually been a conscious effort this year to get everything either presented by Boyd Hilton.
Well, this is the problem, isn't it? This is why it's not journalistic enough.
Definitely not rigorous.
Or by peers in the TV industry. Mm-hmm. And actually, on the one hand, I sort of applaud that, because I remember coming a few years ago and seeing a few too many doing sort of confrontational kind of, but you're a bit of a dick, aren't you, type interviews.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh, come on. Like, the people from the TV industry, they paid 700 quid to see this person they're going to pitch to talk.
Right.
They just want a warm conversation that has a few confrontational elements.
I think there's a balance to be struck, and I think the balance has been
too cozy this
time. And look, I'm not saying me. Obviously, I would love to do one of these things, but actually, my style is to get on with people, but to ask the tough questions. And I think that it's okay to be like that. And I don't think anyone's going to go, "Oh, he wasn't very nice." But at the same time, they're not going to say, "Oh, he gave him a little fireside chat."
I think it sort of depends, doesn't it, Boyd, on the session.
Yeah.
And I went to see Russell T Davies talking to Sally Wainwright yesterday. That was brilliant, I thought, because even though Russell probably talked twice as much as she did, she's obviously a very shy person who actually, if she was grilled, just wouldn't react at all.
Totally. You're absolutely right. That was a brilliant session, and it was by far the best of all of the kind of talent talking to talent sessions we've had. And they are friends. They've been known each other for like decades. But I thought it was a really... I think the thing is, they knew, even though they were mates and they're kind of talking about each other's careers and it was a celebration of her being brilliant, that they had to keep it entertaining for us and informative. And they absolutely did. So it was like a double thing. You're watching, privileged to watch a conversation between two brilliantly talented people, creative people, which for me was what the whole thing should be about. I'm actually not that bothered about issues. I never have been here. That's why I found that a bit boring. I want to see two people talking about making good TV. That's what I like about it. So that was brilliant. But then I watched the Brian Singer, Peter Rice one. So Brian Singer, one of the best, well, certainly one of the high-profile film directors in the world, and also makes good TV.
And Peter Rice is who?
Peter Rice is the head of Fox Channels
globally.
And they've known each other for 20 years similarly. And it was terrible. It was like two mates kind of trying to make jokes about stuff that only really they thought was funny. And, you know, it was such a waste of this, you know, huge, big star of directing and a very powerful man in TV. It was terrible, honestly. And I thought that was the downside of doing the kind of cozy chat type thing. It needed a host. It needed someone to pin them down and try. And you're right, I agree with Tom. I think the one that the controller sessions, I'm doing one in an hour's time with Cassie and the head of BBC4, and there's things to ask him, you know, there's things that, like, you know, that train journey thing, that train spotting thing that was on the front page of the Sun because it was old footage, you know, so I will be asking him about that, but I'm not going to go, you lied to us, you know, I'm not going to like attack him like some lunatic. I'm just going to ask him in a perfectly sociable, normal, conversational way what happened, and he will, I'm sure, give me an answer. So I think it's just a case of you do have to ask the right questions in those kind of sessions, but not in a very faux, you know, confrontational. I think that's absurd.
But the organisers should be looking and thinking, we want this to be one that resonates in the wider world.
I think they should have the big... I think I agree with you totally about the soap thing. I think they should definitely be reflecting popular mainstream TV in every sense, and that should be the focus. And it is incredible they don't have a thing about soap. You're absolutely right. But in terms of, like, what issues are there? I mean, you know, without John Whittingdale, that gigantic doofus, you know, ruining everything, who cares? What kind of big political... I don't know what there are. So it's almost like, what would they talk about in terms of that sense of politics? Maybe diversity always is an issue, but at least everyone seems to be doing something about that now.
That has come up. Actually, on the point about soaps and going back to Russell T Davies and Sally Wainwright, they had an interesting conversation,
about how
they'd learn their craft by working on Children's Ward, which basically was a soap for young people, wasn't it? And that someone from the audience asked a question, should we have the writing room model that we have in the US here in the UK? And Russell pointed out, well, we do, and it's called Coronation Street, and it's the biggest show on television, but everyone in this room doesn't bloody watch it. There is that divide, isn't there, between the people who are actually watching the telly and the people here who are making it and talking about
it? Well, I think this is an example in high-mindedness, this place. You get people coming in and chin-stroking rather than necessarily thinking about what is popular among, you know, normal, everyday people who watch the telly.
More Edinburgh banter in just a moment. But first, let's take a break to find out who is on Media Masters this week with Paul Blanchard. Let's spin that wheel. We paid for the sound effect, so we might as well use it again. It's landed on Carla Sozenko, the editor of Time Out New York. Let's hear a clip.
And so, yeah, once I was in the magazine world, again, I don't think I could do this at 39, which is how old I am now. But when I was in my late 20s, you know, on the copy desk, I would sometimes be there, especially when I was promoted to managing editor, because I was simultaneously managing editor and still on the copy desk. So there were days I would go in at 10 a.m. and not leave until 3 a.m.
Wow.
And it was a long day. And then we'd have Tuesday off and I'd walk around like a zombie. And that's the day you do all your errands and stuff like that. But yeah, once I was in it, I was kind of sure that I'd landed in the right place and was no longer really questioning my path.
Carla Sozenko there talking to Paul Blanchard on the latest edition of the Media Masters series on the Media Focus podcast. Subscribe wherever you get your shows. Okay, folks, the time has come. Let's talk about the McTaggart, the keynote lecture this year by Shane Smith, the CEO of Vice Media. In a speech that predicted a bloodbath of consolidation in the industry in the next year, with Vice cash-rich to take advantage, he rallied against traditional broadcasters for not addressing the issues that faced young people today. Along the way, he championed artists like Grayson Perry and the producer James McTaggart, after whom the lecture is named, for making work that appealed to people outside the mainstream. Let's hear one of the few clips where he doesn't drop an F-bomb.
The spirit of McTaggart and the spirit of this lecture is the same spirit of Grayson Perry. All of us going out there need to change the world. There's a revolution going on in media, and it's scary, it's fast, and quite frankly, it's going to be ugly. But it's also necessary to keep going forward, to change things, because that's what we have to do. Change has never been so important, never so crucial, especially in media.
Okay, so we're coming out of the Shane Smith McTaggart. I must admit, I'm rather confused. Bracing fresh air as we leave the Edinburgh Playhouse. Here are the thronged masses. Let's find out what they thought.
I thought he was going to come and just try and give UK terrestrial television a kicking. He didn't. I thought the values that he was espousing towards the end were very traditional journalistic values about telling good stories, telling important stories to as big an audience as possible, and I really applaud him for that.
I suppose if Shane Smith's going to give me 10 million to make something, that sounds great. That was what he promised, wasn't it?
To everyone in the room?
Yeah, he was going to give a random 23-year-old 10 million to, yeah.
That makes you hang your head in shame a little bit, and it makes you panic.
Because you're not making the kind of programmes he says you should be making?
Because I'm turning down those sort of programmes as a distributor. It also makes you panic about the US takeovers and mergers at the beginning.
Fucking awesome!
Why?
Because Shane Smith is an absolute legend, and he gets young people. He delivers very well, it was very comical, he knows his audience, and I just thought it was freaking badass, very much enjoyed it.
It was incredible, it was really inspiring, especially the way he singled out the Ones to Watch scheme and the network, and it's really nice to know that Vice are championing just young people and their perspectives of the industry.
Well, in the cold, harsh light of day, we assembled media writer Maggie Brown and Business Insider's Jake Cantor, MediaPod favourites, to hear what they made of the McTaggart and the Q&A session held later with Jay Hunt. Here's Maggie.
Well, actually, I really rather agreed with Kevin Ligo, who said he was almost odious. I didn't actually like his style of delivery, theatrical though it may have been. He seemed to be sipping quite a lot of liquids and both trying to be sort of elderly hip and kind of, I don't know, misjudging his audience, I think. He clearly has got a really interesting business story to tell. But what I thought was strange was that he seemed to think that in Britain, you know, we didn't really try and attract younger people to serious things like news and current affairs. And I quite agreed, actually, with what I think was quite a disdainful reaction by the main people who head up our own British broadcasters, that actually we have a lot of very serious programming on, and not just the Channel 4 news end of things, and a lot of exploration of terrible stories in the world through things like Unreported World and Panorama, etc., etc. What I couldn't believe were the clips he showed, which were just of him and Obama, or him and, you know, famous scientists. And I thought, well, you know, come on, this is really not about self-promotion, but it is. And he's just said it now in there that he's over here because really that's what he wants to do. He wants to build up his channels here and, you know, the profile, which of course inevitably involves him.
Just like this, on that point about his narcissism, there's an inherent contradiction, isn't there, between saying, give 23-year-old cameras, get them to direct, get them to make the features that they know their generation want, and then to illustrate what you're talking about, showing a clip of you, a man in what, his 50s, I presume, talking to another man in his 50s, albeit the president. Okay,
I don't know if it's narcissism or it's conceit or vanity or it's just,
it's
you know...
It's not a 23-year-old, is it?
No, it's not
vibrant programming for young
people,
is it?
And also, I mean, let's face it too, that a lot of the kind of clicks for Vice are actually clickbait and they are not necessarily about these tough things. On the other hand, I agree with raw, rough, immersive journalism. There's nothing wrong with that. I just actually kind of slightly didn't like the way in which he presented himself.
Maybe he underestimated the audience, as Maggie said, and he just got it wrong. He didn't account for the fact that the BBC and Sky and ITV do great things in this country that Vice does in North America. Or maybe actually this was a deliberate attempt to reach North America and not the people who were in the room listening at all.
I agree with a lot that Maggie is saying. He started as a salesman and he's over here to do a sales job. So if he had one eye on America, you know, making sure that the brand is still at the forefront of people's minds over there as well as over here, then he's probably in some way achieved that, because he's got plenty of headlines out of this festival. The whole thing left me a bit cold, I think. For a man who tells stories for a living, his speech was a mess. There was no narrative, there was no coherent message, and I think it lost a lot of its potency as a result of that. I think people are quite confused about why he's here and what he wants.
I mean, if you hadn't ever watched Vice, I'm not sure you really understood any more about it by the end of his speech than you did at the beginning. So even as a sales job, I'm not sure you really... Yeah, he was sort of trading on the basis that everyone was talking about Vice as the hip, cool brand, but actually there were probably quite a lot of people
You might presume that he is the face of Vice and it is a channel built around him. I mean, Jay Hunt pulled him up on that in the post-McTaggart interview, and he said, well, actually, sometimes I parachuted into these big interviews because the person being interviewed actually wants me to do that, and my contribution accounts for a tiny, tiny percentage of our output, which is mainly made by, you know, 25-year-olds.
I don't think it generated anything like the headlines that he probably hoped for, certainly here. I mean, if you don't pre-release your speech and you don't understand how national newspapers actually develop the debate, then, you know, he really missed out big on that. And I don't have any real sense that there's a great echo chamber around this speech. Maybe I'm just sort of, for various reasons, not completely in touch, but it didn't seem to me to be a speech that had a huge amount of legs. I think for the younger people in the audience, maybe they appreciated it a bit more, because as I heard them coming out, and I walked straight into the grandees of television, it was clearly two sets of people who were hearing it. And basically, I think the older or more experienced or successful or involved you are in British broadcasting or television, which is what really this is about, then it got chillier and chillier, this reception, as she went up the status scale. One good thing that comes out of this, which actually, it just shows you that there is a sort of a disconnect between the cultures of North America and America and here, and also that I do know this because I travel to America when I have my daughters living in California, and I go quite a bit, and you do sense that there's a lack of serious reporting. I mean, the Fox News phenomenon has really, you could say, tainted American journalism, although it's that there are still strong newspapers, but there's definitely that's also what he's partly he's filling in a gap there over in America.
He also got a very easy round of applause, it seemed to me, one of not many that he got, but he did get a very easy round of applause by calling shows like The X Factor, I think I'm right in saying, vacuous, vapid shit, was the quote.
Yeah.
That's just a bit easy, isn't it? I mean, of course it's true that there are people watching Vice who don't watch TV.
Yeah.
It must also be true that there's plenty of them that watch The X Factor and watch programmes about drugs on Vice.
But you see, that on the other hand, though, you know, I mean, the first session I came to at the start of the festival on Wednesday morning was the ITV Digital presentation with the new controller, Rosemary Newell. And what is everybody talking about here? ITV2 has had a huge hit with the second series of Love Island, which has obviously put the frighteners on Big Brother or Celebrity Big Brother. So I think actually that there has been a kind of odd skewing here where a lot of the talk is also, we're all very interested after all, were we not, to hear Jay Hunt this morning say that there would be a second series of Naked Attraction, which has certainly, you know, raised a lot of eyebrows on Channel 4 at this moment in time.
It's not all it's raised.
But there isn't a balancing what you might call very public service series of acclaim, critical acclaim going on just right now. So there will be, of course, because they've got new dramas and everything, the autumn starts. But you can see that there has been a sort of quite an interesting celebration too of Love Island going on, all aimed at the sort of, you know, 16 to, well, under 30s really.
Okay, well, on that point, Jake, imagine if you will that you are Lisa Campbell. I know you spent a lot of your career fantasizing about that very thing. You're framing,
horrified to hear that.
You're framing next year's McTaggart. Who would you bring in? Would you go for another digital disruptor, or would you think, enough already with that, let's get someone in from ITV or Channel 4 and do a proper speech that's been released to Maggie Brown the night before?
Not the night before, but I mean, you know, you have to be fair to journalists. If you're actually releasing some selected thoughts in the morning, but you're not sure that that's a speech, how can any proper newspaper website report it with any great sense of confidence, because you don't have the full text? That's all people are saying. It's a perfectly good point, because the McTaggart is what it is, you know, 40 years of tradition. Some of the best brains and creatives in television have done this, so we shouldn't be too shocked by the presence.
No, I'm not sure. It was a serious point to Jake. Would you be booking someone from, you know, would you be booking the controller of BBC World?
I'd book Roger Ailes,
the ousted chief of Fox News.
And apparently now Donald Trump's advisor and speechwriter,
really?
And all the rest of it, yeah.
I don't know.
That's so they say. That would get a few headlines, I think.
And also, along as part of his speech, Shane Smith did play in clips from the media show. Maggie, how would you feel if this gets clipped up and used in Shane Smith's next presentation and he tears apart your analysis?
I don't mind. I mean, you know, I would have thought a bit of sort of straightforward reactions. Everybody's entitled to give it, you know. I'm not saying he shouldn't have been booked. I mean, I'm not as, you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't have had him over here. It's just, in fact, it's useful to be exposed to such a person. I was interested, you know. And I couldn't believe why he kept on saying, "Come on, Scotland." I mean, what was all that about?
That was alcohol.
I thought it was a really good booking, actually.
I agree, by the way. I thought it was a good booking, yeah. I just actually found it awkward to watch.
But yeah, I
didn't quite
live up to the billing, unfortunately.
Well, back with me now are Boyd and Tom. It is time for the Boyd Hilton McTaggart rant. What did you think?
First of all, it was a shambles, because, you know, you started off, you know, drunk slash whatever, you know. It's just kind of like, just seemingly, it just wasn't, that's not funny anymore, is it? You know, like trying, I mean, it was almost like a parody of its own self to show off how edgy Vice is, that he's kind of this shambolic figure. But to lecture the British TV industry on, like, you know, oh, we're doing covering LGBT issues on Vice. Oh my God, oh, sorry, mate. Well, I was watching Gay Time TV about 30 years ago on BBC Two and Queer as Folk. And, you know, British TV has a great history of dealing with LGBT issues. It's almost like we've gone beyond that now. We just, you know, it's just a part of it, always has been part of British TV. So I'd say, in my adult life. So I just thought, for him to lecture us on that kind of thing, and like, as if, like, British TV doesn't deal with the environment. And I mean, there's stuff on Channel 4, for example, rightly made Channel of the Year, every single day, that is edgier than anything I've seen coming up on the Viceland channel, and anything you're going to get on his effing website. So it's just like, it just, none of it to me made the slightest bit of
sense.
Don't
just drop F-bombs in to be rock and roll, Boyd. That's very passé.
All right, shame. I just thought it was absolute bullshit. To show clips of himself.
I just found it distasteful that he seems so pompous and showy offy about how much money they've got, how rolling in cash they all are, and yet they pay their journalists so incredibly poorly, and they send off kids to war zones because that's what you do, rather than someone like a proper news organisation that will be rigorous. You know, you don't just send off people to do things. You make sure it's all proper practice and things like that. I just think that they don't treat their journalists particularly well. You know, and he talks about share prices that they get, and he needed to be careful with what he sells because they've all got share schemes. But they're all paid a pittance to live in New York.
And they, are they not? There was the whole unionisation controversy, wasn't there, about his journalists here in this country? I mean, I don't know the ins and outs, but there was definitely dodgy things going on. Can I just say, I think Vice. The website, I think the main Vice websites, including the whatever the music one is, I mean, they have some brilliant writers and brilliant articles. I don't know how much the kind of star writers get paid. I think they get paid more than your standard.
What have you heard in terms of what people
well,
get
I,
paid?
When the News of the World shut and I went freelance, I thought Vice is something I'd quite like to get into. It's just they'll do the sort of articles that I actually would really like to write. And I went to them, had a meeting and sat down with them and suggested some stuff. And they said, yeah, we like those ideas. And I said, how much do you pay? And they said, £100 an article. And you have to source your own photos. So actually, if some of these articles are quite involved, that's more than a day's work. So that's £100. Maybe you could be £50 a day. Well, I mean, even the Sun's day rate is £130. And I just thought, I can't work for you for that. And they seem to think, well, yeah, but you're published in Vice. Well, that's not acceptable, because then it's a race to the bottom. And I actually wanted to ask this question. There was no questions from the floor during the Q&A with Jay Hunt. She asked once if there was a question from the floor, and I wasn't ready yet. I wanted to write it down to make sure I was asking it properly. And when I went and sat in the middle, and I kept my hand up the whole way through, and I had a woman behind me with a baton, you know, and she just read questions from the app, and she didn't come back to the floor. And actually, my question would have been, if you value your journalism so highly and that people want to pay billions of pounds to invest in you, why don't you value your journalists higher? And Jay Hunt said at the Channel 4 dinner, she said that he hates journalists. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but he runs a journalistic organisation. It's crazy. And the fact that they pay so little is horribly indicative of that.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There is still, though, plenty of time for our bumper edition of the media quiz. This week it's entitled Press Release Me, Let Me Go. There are plenty of commissions announced during the festival, but can you guess which talent said these quotes from their releases? Best of four, you buzz in with your name when you know the answer. So Boyd, you will say...
Boyd.
And Tom, you will say...
Tom.
Here's question number one. Rarely have I relished the thought of doing a show as much as this. I love, love, love everything about it, especially the fact that I will get to witness the amazing talents
Tom.
Of this room. Tom.
Shane
Who said
Ward.
That?
Not Shane Ward. Ah, I've got it wrong. Shane Smith.
It is neither Shane Ward nor Shane Smith.
Shane Lynch.
I'm obsessed with
Shane
soaps.
Ritchie. Someone called Shane.
Shane on me.
Boyd, it's your point. Who said that in a press release about a forthcoming new show they're involved in?
Dawn French.
It was Dawn French talking about ITV's new show, Little Big Shots.
Can you believe I actually read these press releases?
I can, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I really can, Boyd.
Yeah. I mean, you work for a weekly print publication. You've got time.
True.
What is Little Big Shots?
It's a game show involving little kids.
Yeah, so that's not a, it's not
a
bonus
American
point.
It's an American format that's really hitting America.
My mate works on it. It sounds terrible.
Oh does nice. It?
I mean, no, not
so
from
loyal.
What he tells me, but,
so
but from what I've surmised from what he told me.
Here's quote number two. I'm delighted to be playing a character as colourful as Farage. He's a gift to parody, and I'm looking forward to bringing previously unseen aspects of his life to the screen. Who said that?
The funny thing is,
I've got that press release. Buzz with your name.
I don't know. But
you don't know your name?
No, I know my name, Boyd, but I got the press release about the Farrell show, but I didn't even look who was playing him.
Well, given that you're doing everything else at this festival, is it you, Boyd?
It's not me.
There were two impressionists that were here at the festival.
Oh, Anthony McGowan. Of them.
It's not him, it's the other one.
Who's the other one? John Coleshaw.
No.
Oh, my God, who's the other one?
Rory Bremner.
Kevin Bishop.
Is Kevin doing really?
Playing Nigel Farage.
Oh, Kevin was on my session, the Porridge session, because he's the star of Porridge.
Okay.
Oh, that's annoying.
I think he'll be good.
Apologies,
he
Kevin.
He was certainly good in...
He's great.
Was he Barry Earn in that snooker
brilliant.
Program?
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. I mean, he doesn't really like him, but...
No, he doesn't.
Casting.
But, yeah, okay, all right. People
Whereas McGowan does.
That.
They could have had McGowan.
I'm actually nervous about a satire about Nigel Farage.
I know.
I think actually...
Do you need one? It's all a bit of a satire.
Well, exactly. It's just going to be cheap jokes, isn't it? That's what I'm worried about. Cheap jokes that come from a liberal media elite.
Like hacks. About the News of the World hacking scandal on Channel 4, which was dismal.
That was terrible, wasn't it?
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I never saw it. So, Boyd, 1 point to you. Tom, no points to you.
No.
But it's still all to play for. Here's question number 3. We're building on our successes with high-quality commissions that increase the breadth, range, and appeal of our homegrown programming.
Tom.
Yeah.
Any of them.
Any TV commissioner could have said
all
that.
Of them.
But who was it? Building on high quality is probably the giveaway there. It's someone who perhaps isn't associated with high quality ordinarily.
Oh, Channel 5.
Yes, it was. I did sort of give you that point, but yes, it was. Yeah. Channel 5 controller Ben Frau on a new season of natural history programmes on the channel.
Natural history benefits.
Who, by the way...
Dinosaurs on the stage.
Who, by the way, Ben Frau said that Graham Norton should be paid more. As if anybody in the country is going, you know what... You know that Graham Norton, he does a sterling job. I think he deserves more money.
Channel 5 are doing okay, though, aren't they?
Oh, I mean, they've done it. He's done a great job of creating a channel that does really well commercially. And they certainly serve a kind of an interesting market, don't they? Yeah, I mean, they've even stopped. I didn't go to his session, but they've even actually stopped having benefits programs every single week.
Yeah.
Like they did for about 2 years.
Actually, I mean, Tom, you were talking about sort of tabloid news stories. I mean, Channel 5 is actually a good example, isn't it, of basically catering to that tabloid audience, but they've done it now in a way that doesn't feel sensational. It does feel a bit more calmed down than it used to.
Yeah, I think so, although it's wall-to-wall Big Brother, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's sort of...
Big Brother's on, to be fair.
Yeah. Well, it's just always. But apparently not. They're going to do other things. That's what they say. That's what Ben Frau said.
Here's question number 4. It's not all to play for. Boyd's won anyway, but,
What?
Here it is. It's great to be back on ITV. There's a clue there. With an
Tom.
Yes.
Harry Hill.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very good. I'll finish the quote. With an all-new format that finally tackles the problem of an imminent and prolonged war with space aliens by proving to them that us humans are really a lot of fun to hang out with.
It does sound terrible, but I'm hoping that Harry Hill's behind it. It won't be.
Well, I'm the only person in the world who liked his revival of Stars in Their Eyes.
No, there was me too.
Oh, yeah.
Two of us.
There we go. So he can do no wrong for me, But he's got a big Sky show as well coming up, isn't he? So he's going to be a busy man.
He has. I saw that being advertised on a big billboard here, but I didn't take note of what
Which
it was.
Which is funny, because the reason he quit ITV in the first place doing his TV book, because it was so work intensive, he's taking on two shows.
Yeah.
Different levels of work, though, isn't it? Do you know what this show is? It's Harry Hill's Alien Fun Capsule. Any ideas?
Yeah, no, basically they take... It's a panel show with, you know, like plebs, I think, and they decide on records or
when you
clips
plebs, do you mean
or...
sun readers? What are you talking about?
No, I mean the normal people like myself, boys. You know, not celebrities, which is very
warmly confrontational.
Which is very
presenting
different
very
to
well.
a panel show usually on ITV where it's all celebrities. I think it's going to be normal people where they select videos or clips or something to put into a time capsule in case we are obviously ever invaded by aliens.
That's right. The format is, over a series of rounds, the two teams of two present Harry with fun stuff, which Harry must adjudicate on and ultimately decide what's in and what's out of the fun capsule, with the triumphant team winning bragging rights.
With special guests, probably all from James Grant.
Cynical to the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Literally the end. That is it. Boyd Hilton, you've won.
Thank you.
In your own quiet fashion, you managed to get more points than Tom. Tom, it was a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much. I think I've just ruined my chances of ever being represented by James Grant, unfortunately.
You certainly have.
Was that a serious consideration?
No! But you never know where things might go.
You never know. That's it. Thank you to you. If you're new to the show, hi there. It's good, isn't it? We do this every fortnight. So if you want the latest media news delivered to you in a gossipy behind-the-scenes fashion from the Hospital Club, then subscribe, for goodness sake. Go to themediapodcast.com/listen, and all the links are there for Pocket Casts,
for Acast, for iTunes, even for RSS if you're a nerd. Basically, your podcast app of choice carries this show, so please subscribe and you'll get the new episodes whenever they appear, including bonus episodes coming up, folks, with our favourite sessions from this year's TV festival. So go and subscribe now, vmediapodcast.com/listen. And as you're now up to date with us, why not get inspired by another podcast as well? Our friends at the Media Focus podcast, the latest episode of Media Masters on there with Carla Sazenko. The producer of this show is Matt Hill. The Media Podcast is a PPM production. I've been Ollie Mann. Until next time, bye-bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.